Rafer.
Yes, Kristen.
I know you're a player.
Me, a player?
You're a player and a player.
Hate the player. Don't hate the game, Kristen. You know me.
You are. You are in so many ways. But the main thing I was thinking about why you're a player.
Mm.
Remember how you used to coach your son's t-ball team?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, yeah. If that counts, then I'm definitely a player.
And by used to, I mean like 2 months ago you were coaching the t-ball
team. That's
right. And we just saw a movie with a dad who coaches his son's team.
That's right.
And I was sitting 2 rows back from you.
Oh, you were at that screening? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I came in a little later than you.
Oh, okay.
You sat down, and you always like to sit closer to the screen.
Yeah, I know. I'm a close guy.
Yeah, you're one of those guys. And so I'm sitting 2 rows back, and I'm looking at you, looking at him, coaching the team. And I saw the look in your eyes that said, I'm a player.
You think that? I never noticed how much Rafer resembles Gerard Butler.
Yes.
In Playing for Keeps, one of the movies we'll be talking about.
Exactly. We're going to talk about Playing for Keeps and also The Fitzgerald Family Christmas.
Yes, the new Ed Burns film.
We have all of that to talk about, but first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date. Okay, so let's get one thing out of the way. I think we there was some kind of technical glitch with our last podcast,
I hate these glitches.
I know, which was about the – and it's a really good podcast, I thought. It was a really good episode. It's about the movie Hitchcock. We got a really interesting guest on, a film professor, Peter Michoud, to talk about Hitchcock, talk about the Hitchcock's oeuvre. and it was really good conversation, but some people have told us that they weren't for some reason able to get it through iTunes. It is on the Takeaways website.
It's also on moviedatepodcast.org, our new URL.
Yeah, our new URL. What a great segue, Kristen. Smooth.
Did you hear me sell that smoothly?
You the player.
I'm the player.
but because we liked that podcast so much, we are going to try and put that one back up today, and we want to save what we thought was an excellent trivia question and give people some time to answer that. So hopefully that will be on iTunes. So no trivia answer today, but we do have a trivia question in honor of the Fitzgerald Family Christmas.
Yes, Fitzgerald Family Christmas, an Irish-American holiday gathering. And in honor of the Irish-Americans, our question is, what epic film about Irish-Americans starred a half-Cuban actress in the female lead role?
Ho, ho. If you know, give us a call, 5717-MOVIES.
Or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
All right. So now let's do reader mail, because, Kristen, you had a good piece of reader mail to read out, which I really liked.
Oh, yeah. This is great. It's from Marissa in the Bronx. Marissa says, Dear Kristen and Rafer, regarding Anna Karenina, why is everyone British? I think we're old enough as a culture now to start realizing that everyone in the past is not from England.
I love this.
Would have loved to have seen at least one Russian actor in the movie.
Okay. Marissa,
so true. First of all, Marissa, you're absolutely right.
I don't think
there are any Russians in this movie. No,
you know, if there are, I have no idea. It's
like
pretty
background
much
background players or something.
And this is a long-standing tradition in Hollywood. If the movie's Greek, they're all going to be British. If the movie is Middle Eastern in the past, in ancient Arabia, they're all going to speak with British accents. And I was thinking about this with two other things. The Hobbit, which I've seen, and Les Miserables, which I've seen, and I don't want to spoil anything by giving opinions, but again, both British accents. Middle Earth, why does everyone speak like a Shakespearean trained actor? Les Miserables, France, not England. Same thing. Everyone speaks in a British accent. For some reason, the British accent just says to us erudition, timelessness, aristocracy. You know what I'm saying?
To me, it says something about an inferiority complex that the U.S. Hollywood industry had.
Totally.
When we first started up, it's like, we shouldn't have an inferiority complex. We're the country that made the movies.
I know, but
we should not have an inferiority complex. But there was that early tendency in the talkies to frequently have people speak in an accent that I think is called the transatlantic accent.
Oh, I heard it was called the Standard American English is what I've heard it called. It's where you pronounce instead of sweater with kind of a D, you say sweater. You don't say bottle, you say bottle. You know, this kind of thing.
It's just so over the top.
Transatlantic. I like that better.
Yeah, I've heard that it's referred to that way sometimes in the movies. And then I just, you know, the old school, like, MGM contract actors, they all sort of had a little bit of that.
Yes.
Where
yes.
there was just a little bit of British in there.
Even like, Cary Grant sounds that way.
Just a little bit of it. And yeah, and then if they're in the past, then they have a lot of it.
It's a total inferiority complex. You know, they say nobody loves a lord like an American. So there you go.
But we hate them.
But we also hate them.
I don't know what to say about that. Marissa, you're totally right.
Anyway, yes.
And what's awful is we are so American and we're so used to American movies that I didn't even notice that in Anna Karenina when I watched it.
Yeah, I know. Funny, huh? Right.
Yeah.
Because almost everyone except for Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think, is British.
I thought Aaron Taylor Johnson was British.
I don't think he is. I could be wrong.
Oh, he did serve as John Lennon in that one movie.
That's right. All right, we'll have to look that up.
Okay,
readers,
we will. But Marissa,
listeners?
if you have an idea, anybody else out there about this whole British accent thing, just call us, tell us, let us know. Tell us what you think about it. Would you rather have everybody with New Zealand accents? I don't know.
Or as in the case of Playing for Keeps, Scottish.
Yes.
Gerard Butler, the Scottish accent. As he says when his landlord, when his Indian landlord asks him, how do you do it? How do you get all these women? He says, maybe it's the accent. And of course, the Indian landlord says, I have an accent too.
A great segue.
One of the funniest
playing
lines.
For Keeps.
Yes. How do you like that, Kristen?
Hey.
How was the game?
It was great, Mom. I scored a goal.
You did?
We won again.
Nice work, kiddo.
Hey, Dad. Me and Mom were going to the arcade today. You want to come?
No, I'm going to let you guys go on with it.
Mom, can you come?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're welcome to come if you want.
All right, so Playing for Keeps, we have Gerard Butler, who's supposed to be something like a David Beckham. He's a former very famous international soccer
90s
star.
90s era soccer star.
Yeah. And he is a player and a player, and he wants to go back and win back the love of his ex-wife and of his neglected son who has, you know, absolutely no knowledge or memory of his dad at all.
Well, he sustained an ankle injury in the early 2000s, and that was basically the end of his career. So now he's back in Virginia, of all places. Jessica Biel plays his ex-wife, Stacy. Newcomer, first-timer, Noah Lomax as the little kid, Lewis. So he's trying to, you know, there's a little family drama. There's a little, what would you call it? Not sex farce exactly, because this is a pretty mild film. But, you know, Uma Thurman and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Judy Greer all throwing themselves.
The soccer moms cannot get enough of him.
They can't stay away.
Yeah.
Used to be groupies. Now it's soccer moms.
It's just like you at those t-ball practices, right?
That's how it was, Kristen.
T-ball moms.
They love it when you show up schlepping a bag full of t-ball equipment. Nothing says player more than that. So now we've been on the takeaway at this point already today. So I sort of know how you feel about this. Do you want to give me your basic thoughts on Playing for Keeps?
Yeah. You know, I actually thought, and I already said this on air, so I'm just going to repeat myself, that I thought the title of this film really should have been How to Be a Lousy Father, a Crappy Husband, an Egotistical Maniac, and Still Get Everything You Want in Life.
Come on, it's a romantic comedy.
This movie is How to Be a Douchebag and Get Everything You Want. I would have said that on air. I don't know if you can say douchebag on air.
I don't think you can't.
But we can in a podcast.
Okay.
He's a total douchebag.
So that was
he
your main...
He has no self-control at all.
Yeah.
He supposedly wants to win back the love of Jessica Biel and the love of his son, but does he love them or does he love getting laid with soccer moms more?
Well, I think what's kind of funny about this movie is that he's constantly pushed into this role. He spends the whole movie trying not to sleep with them all, right? He's always trying to say, Judy Greer comes over, who's actually very funny, I think.
I love Judy Greer.
This weepy kind of, she keeps breaking down in tears. That's her great strategy to get him into bed, which actually, I have to say, I know from experience, works.
Oh, playa!
I just thought, just saying. I watched those scenes. I kind of thought, like, yeah, why does that work? I know that scene. So she's very funny. Catherine Zeta-Jones dangles a job at ESPN. He wants to be a sportscaster. She's a former sportscaster. She dangles a job in front of him to get him, into the dark of the studio for a little special time. And then there's Uma Thurman. That's a little bit of a spoiler, but not really the Uma Thurman character. But you kind of know that's coming. My thought was, and you know me in romantic comedies, I pretty much hate them. But this
one, because you have no heart.
Yeah, I know. That's what you always say, Kristen. But this one, I have to say, the dramatic moments in this film I thought worked pretty well, mainly because of Jessica Biel, who I thought was strangely really good and really convincing as Stacy, the ex-wife. And in fact, there's a moment in the movie where he's making his play finally to win her back. And I don't want to spoil too much about that, but he's making his big play and she's very upset and she breaks down in tears and she says, "If you love me, let me go." Not the most original line in the world, but she delivers it with such emotion and such conviction that you can actually see Gerard Butler like shrink from her. He's actually like overwhelmed. And part of me, I kept thinking like, you know, Jessica Biel, this is a piece of crap. This movie, and you don't need to work that hard. You're doing way too good a job in this role. But it kind of worked. I thought the little kid was really good. I thought some of those scenes were really kind of moving, where the kid is looking at the picture of him when he was littler and his mom and dad when they were together, and he says, "You know, I don't remember. Is that me?" Little things like that. There are some moments in this movie that are kind of good, but ultimately,
you're making me kind of want to see this movie.
Yeah, I know, but
you know what? I saw it and it's crap.
You saw it and it's lousy. That's the problem. The problem is that that despite everything I'm saying about it, it is ultimately just a stupid romantic comedy with a lot of fluff, a lot of unfunny comedy, and kind of all the typical stuff. You know, it's almost as though like the filmmakers were passing out different memos to different actors. Here, you're in a romantic comedy. You're in a serious drama. You're in a stupid farce. And then finally at the end, they, you know, everybody kind of gets on the same page and decides, "Oh, we're all in a bad movie together. And here we go. Let's wrap this up, shall we?" It's one of those things. But
I think that's the perfect conclusion. Oh, look, we're all in a bad movie together.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Ultimately, Kristen, I think we're coming down. I think we're taking different roads to get to the same place.
But you liked it better than I did.
I thought there were some moments in it that got me, that carried me.
Really?
So
the whole time I was just I hated every minute of this movie. I hated every minute of this movie.
Last question, Gerard Butler. What do we think of him? I sort of the more I see of him, the less of an opinion I'm able to form, the less I care. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, the only movie I really liked him in was The Bounty Hunter with Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
And I think that's I really liked Gerard Butler in that.
That was a pretty bad movie, Kristen.
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good date.
Okay.
You know, maybe I just want more handcuffs in movies.
Yo. Now who's the player? Alrighty then.
Well, okay. Let's talk about family stuff. Shall we talk about Fitzgerald family Christmas?
Jerry, we got to make this happen.
We don't have a say in this.
Did you even talk to Mom?
Yeah, of course I did. All right, and I get both of their point of views, and I'm not taking sides.
My man, you got to have a horse in this race.
Oh, and you think it should be Dad's?
He deserves to be there.
Does he? There's a guy who walked out on his family.
Let's talk about this. This is Ed Burns' new film, indie film, low budget, star-studded, sort of star-studded cast. Him, for one, Carrie Bechet, Connie Britton from the series Nashville, Noah Emmerich, some good character actors. Noah Emmerich, Ed Lauter, who's been around for, I don't know, 6 decades or something.
Yeah, from his older movies like Mike McGlone.
Yeah, Mike McGlone, from the Brothers McMullen. Do you want me to give a summary of this, Kristen?
Yeah, go ahead,
okay.
Do it.
Okay. There isn't one really, so it's basically a scriptless, plotless movie. It's a large Irish American clan gathering together on Long Island. They are this is always a difficult job, herding these cats together. Ed Burns plays Jerry, the kind of the stalwart family guy who really wants everyone to come back together, even though his siblings don't care and don't want to be together. And it's all made even more difficult this year by the arrival of the father, who abandoned them some 20 years ago and now wants to be brought back into the fold. And this dredges up a lot of family resentments and wounds and such. And that's really all there is to it. It's just a series of small scenes, small moments, little kind of mini plays unfolding between the various family members.
With lots of references to Irish-American stuff.
Yes,
lots
that's right.
Lots of references to being Catholic. Lots of references to that other Irish family down the block.
And right.
You wouldn't want to marry an English person.
That's right. My,
English as if you are... you know, somebody in Anna Karenina with that accent, but no, like, no, somebody who's 18 generations ago,
right.
An English person in your family tree. Yeah.
Right.
Lots
right.
of references to stuff like that.
It seems, while it's Irish-American and there's Irish-Americans happen to be a pretty big chunk of America, I think it could be kind of almost any family of any ethnicity just about.
So you liked the Irish-American stuff?
It's not so much that spoke to me, but I felt that this film, against all odds, I would say, because I don't tend to like these kinds of indie films that just sort of throw 8,000 characters together with no real plot and just, you know, well, I'll just act our way out of it, you know. But this one I thought really worked, and I think the reason is because Ed Burns has such a good feel for these characters, and he likes them, and he seems to really... He likes them. He knows them. He has a deep respect for them, and he just wants to put them together and play them off of each other. And I thought it really worked.
Oh God!
Ultimately,
no.
You really did not like the movie.
Oh no!
Really?
I felt it was interchangeable with any other holiday movie I've ever seen.
Oh really?
Like a dysfunctional family holiday get together movie. You know,
yeah.
Like nothing like The Holidays, that movie that did the Latino version,
or
Home for the Holidays, which I think did like a Connecticut version, and The Family Stone, which is like a WASPy version, or all of
yes.
these movies feel exactly the same to me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to name off everything that happens in every single one of these movies. There's never a surprise. It's always like one member of the family is really sick, probably the matriarch or the patriarch.
Okay.
One member of the family's probably been in and out of jail or on drugs. One member of the family has a significant other who's probably going to sleep with a sibling or one of the sibling's significant others. Everybody in this movie is going to fight, possibly cry, stay up all night at one point and either eat pie or go dancing.
Oh, boy.
And then they're all going to come together in the end and love each other. There might also be a car accident at one point.
Okay.
But, and I just feel like I really want there to be some surprises in there. It just feels every time I see this movie like it's exactly the same movie. And if I want to be around this, I'll just go back to Minnesota and hang out with my family.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, yeah, right. I can do all that back home.
I don't actually have a comeback for that. You are right. You are right on that. I still feel like the movie works. I still feel like it's the performances are so natural and everything feels so real in it that it still worked for me. Do you know the backstory of this film, Kristen?
I think you said that Tyler Perry was involved.
Correct. And this will explain a lot. To keep it brief, Ed Burns and Tyler Perry starred in Alex Cross together, and it was Tyler Perry who said to Ed Burns, "Hey, you know, you made The Brothers McMullen all those years ago. The Irish Americans loved it. They turned it into a hit. Why aren't you still making Irish American movies? You got to super serve your base. Take it from me, Tyler Perry. You've got to serve your base." And he
makes a movie that looks just like this movie, by the way.
And that's
while
the thing.
I was watching this movie, I actually thought I was seeing Madea's One Big Happy or Madea's Family Reunion.
Right, Madea's Witness Protection.
Yeah.
Ed Burns does.
Like 10 million family members who get together.
He does take more than one page from Tyler Perry on that. And so that might be A, why you're seeing some of these cliches, B, why you're seeing more than usual the Irish American notions being kind of hammered home to play to that base. But I still find that the film has a lot of holiday warmth, and I really liked it.
Really?
Yes.
Hold on. This is a good date for you.
It was a good date for me. I give it 3 out of 4. 3 stars out of 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I consider this a very, very bad date, actually.
Wow.
As if that's a surprise. You know I consider this
yes.
a bad date. I think,
yes.
No. All right. I don't want to go to that dinner. I don't want to go to that Fitzgerald family Christmas.
You don't want to be part of that Christmas. All right.
No. Wow. I think I'd rather get some Chinese food and go to the movies by myself in Times Square.
All right. Have it your way.
All right. So let's remind everybody of the trivia question. In honor of a Fitzgerald family Christmas and Irish Americans in the movies, the question is, which epic film about Irish Americans starred a half-Cuban actress as the female lead? If you know the answer, call 5717-MOVIES or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.